I belong to a very select club, of which not too many people are members. I am a vegetarian who doesn't cook and likes food shopping. I really do. I love Whole Foods. I know that's embarrassing to admit, but I like going up and down the aisles and looking at all the stuff that most of you probably disregard, which is the varieties of tofu and how they make seitan into ever new and exciting hot dog varieties. And I also enjoy sometimes when someone spots me in Whole Foods because I get the same reaction that you had when you were a little kid and you saw your third grade teacher at a movie, which is, you don't belong here. You're not supposed to be here, and it can't really be you. And yet sometimes it is. And in the past week, I've been to the market a couple of times because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are coming, and therefore I need to buy lots of stuff that you don't have to cook. And I've run into many people with large groaning carts filled with stuff that you do chop and dice and put in pans and heat, I'm assuming. And it's because they're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Well, more Rosh Hashanah, I suppose, and before Yom Kippur, but it is amazing the amount of preparation that Jews do for every holiday, because you know that an essential part of the holiday is the lavish feeding of people. But it is also amazing how much and how often we use the external preparations as a way of diverting ourselves from preparing for the holiday the way you're supposed to prepare for the holiday. I don't mean in any way to impugn those who are cooking. But if you spend more time planning the menu than thinking about yourself as a Jew who is doing tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, then you've a little bit missed the point. And so I thought I would highlight three attributes today, just three, not surprising, not unknown, but important, that all of us should be thinking about in the time that remains before we actually come to the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, followed by Yom Kippur. And all of them are alluded to in one way or another in our portion this morning, in the Torah portion this morning. First of all, Rosh Hashanah, remember, is the holiday that celebrates the creation of the world. Therefore, it is the holiday of everything. There is nothing that isn't embraced by the celebration of Rosh Hashanah. And in particular, the greatest single emotion that should overwhelm us when we confront this holiday is gratitude. And I would say you can't actually celebrate Rosh Hashanah if you don't feel grateful. If you don't know what to feel grateful for, take a minute and check your pulse. Because the fact that you are alive and can hear these words and can breathe the air and can sit with other people, that's enough. But then, of course, we are lavished with blessings. One of them alluded to cleverly this morning by our bar mitzvah, when he said he thought of himself as he traveled to Israel like the ancient Jews in the Exodus, because he had to fly for 14 hours with no Wi-Fi. And I thought that was a perfect illustration of the things that we do to ourselves, thinking, my God, this is really a trial. I have no Wi-Fi, until we remind ourselves what the world was like for our ancestors and is like for so many people. I still have the privilege each week, now that he is almost 99 years old, of studying with Kirk Douglas. And I remember once when it was a very hot day, I said to him, you know, thank God for air conditioning. And he agreed. And I said, when you were a kid, you probably had a block of ice and a fan. And he looked at me for a second and he said, who had a fan? And if you've been outside the past several days where in the shade it is sweltering, then you know that there are so many blessings in our lives that we take for granted. That when the Torah portion says this morning, uvacharta b'chayim, that you should choose life, what it means is in your judgments of the world, you can always err on the side of destruction and death and pessimism and sadness. But if you made it to another year, choose gratitude. Think today, and every day, at least through the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, through the 10 days of repentance, of one or two things in your life that are great blessings that you don't notice because you are not without them, but that if they were gone, your life would be immeasurably impoverished. So the first attribute of the new year is gratitude for all that we have. And awareness of it, because of course you can't be grateful for something if you don't know you have it. Second, it says in our parsha, Umol et libcha, to circumcise your heart. And what that means, it's a phrase that the prophets use as well, is to strip away the things that keep you from feeling. And one of the things that keeps us from tshuva and from feeling is our sense of our own defensiveness. Because what you are supposed to feel, especially as we approach these days, is not how other people have hurt you, but how you have hurt other people. And it is easy to recount all the terrible things that other people did to you. But it is hard to be aware in a way that is healthy and repairing, not in a way that is morbid and sickly, of the things that you have done that have hurt other people. We all see this in our lives in a thousand ways. The example that I give that's easy, but it just gets the self-critical juices flowing, is how often I get furious at that terrible human being who just cut in front of me in the street, forgetting that a block before, because I'm really in a hurry, I cut in front of someone too. And the self-righteous rage of drivers when they're upset at another driver always a little bit terrifies and a little bit amuses me, because I know that those people have done exactly what they're furious about. Yeah, they pushed that yellow light to prevent somebody from taking a left, or they cut in front when they shouldn't have, or they sat in their parking space knowing someone was waiting, texting everyone they know, because it's their space after all. And by the way, they did a study. When someone is waiting for a space, people who are in it take longer to get out. It's amazing how we work. But we all do it, and then we get furious at someone else when they do it, which shows you the extent to which we feel slights against ourselves so much more than we do the things, the slights that we commit to others. But part of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is feeling what you do, not only what is done to you. Understanding how you have hurt, not only how you have been hurt. Tearing away the covering that prevents you from seeing your effect in the world, which can be painful. And then, the third phrase in rabbinic literature, probably the most famous phrase, although it's right up there with choose life, is lo bashamayim hi. The Torah, says the Torah, is not in the heavens. In other words, it's not far away from you. It's not something that you can't do, even though it seems like it's something that is in some ways distant from your life. And the particular mitzvah that the Torah is talking about when it says, lo bashamayim hi, is tshuva, is repentance. Because it is hard to really believe, I mean really believe, that you can change. And yet, everyone here knows that in the course of your life, you have changed. And not only that, but I would bet you that if I said to you, in the coming year, it is possible for you to change for the worse, you'd all believe me. If I said, really, you can be meaner than you are. You can. You could wait in that parking space twice as long. I have confidence in you. You could do it. And not only that, but you would believe that you could do it. But if I say to you, you can be less angry, you can be less hurtful, you can be more kind, you say, well, it's very tough. But you can. I can. We all can. There's no question about it. But it's hard to believe, and that's specifically the aim of that verse, lo bashamayim hi, it's not in the heavens. It's actually very daily. It's very everyday. It's very what you do at the kiddush when somebody cuts in front of you and grabs the cookie you were going for. And you say to yourself, you know what? I've done that. That's okay. I'm not going to get angry. In other words, tshuva is a grand theme, but it sometimes plays itself out in very everyday, pedestrian, quotidian, one after another sorts of ways. Tshuva isn't always becoming a brand new person. Sometimes it's becoming a better version of the person that you've been. It's promising yourself that even though it feels good in a moment to speak when you're angry, you're going to wait and count and speak when you're not so angry, and I guarantee you, speak more effectively. You are going to deny yourselves some of the pleasures of indignation because you know that you give other people reason to be indignant too. And when they don't take it, you feel grateful. Those are the kinds of things that we're supposed to be thinking about. Not only what are we going to eat first night, second night. I know those things matter. They do. And I'm not trying in any way to diminish, even though we make jokes about Jews and food, the truth is that the rabbis used to say that your table was an altar. And to gather a family around the table is a sacred and beautiful thing to do. I don't mean to diminish it at all. And if you're a good cook, God bless you. I should stop right there. Ruckin beat that. That was great. And a good meal is a beautiful and wonderful thing, but remember that the holiday is about your soul and our community. It's about the individual Jew and the Jewish people. And if you're really going to do Rosh Hashanah right, you have to give that some thought too. Gratitude, honesty, and change. Each year, we try to do a little better, try to get a little higher, try to find ourselves growing the soul that God gave us, so that when the end of Yom Kippur comes and the shofar is blown, we look forward to the year ahead with confidence that we as individuals and we as a people are fulfilling the mission that God has given us. L'takein olam b'malchut Shaddai, to make God's world better under God's kingdom with our effort, with our behavior, with our souls, with our love. Shabbat shalom.